It is vital that the cab trade as a collective supports the Class A action brought by Mishcon and Arbour. Nevertheless, that isn't a solution to all our problems. TfL say they were hoodwinked. TfL say that Uber lied in court. Well, get this. TfL is a regulator and they have failed to regulate. If TfL is surprised by that, they should know that that is what they are paid by the public purse to do. If TfL was content with forming a corporate structure with Uber, therefore foregoing safety measures, then they are complicit with engineering the markets, and with that comes recompense. And failing regulatory arbitrage, if TfL was truly hoodwinked, it is further justification they do not meet the criteria that deems them fit and proper to serve as regulators. Sir Peter Hendy, the former Commissioner for Transport, is on record as saying that it wasn't his job to look after the well-being of the cab trade. It was his job, he said, to look after the well-being of the travelling public. It should grate, therefore, shouldn't it, that TfL has been in abdication of their regulatory duty to uphold safety standards for the best part of 6 years. It is one thing to be in gross dereliction of your duty to arbitrate. It is another to construct a false sense of security where the public think that safety provisions are in place when evidently they are not. I'm calling out senior management of surface transport at TfL to disband with immediate effect. The problem with that is that they are appointed figures and seemingly granted diplomatic immunity from people holding them to account. They should at least be forced to answer how a transport company can not only be responsible for a rise in pollution levels and congestion, but also responsible for causing near-on civil unrest. TfL has failed unequivocally every single member of the travelling public that put faith in their operation every time TfL reiterated that public safety was paramount.
You're listening to London Taxi Radio, the new voice of the London taxi trade.
London Taxi Radio. London Taxi Radio. The station just for cabbies.
Good afternoon, lovely listeners. This is Sean Paul Day and I'll be with you for the next couple of hours. We'll be talking about Mishcon the Riot again. And was Uber the right way to go? Or should it have been TfL? Chris Johnson files an employment case against MyTaxi. They're in the news again. And we'll be looking for comments from MyTaxi. In fact, we'll be inviting them in. The tariff review is 6 months late. Why? Well, wait for it. TfL couldn't be bothered. Michael Glassman of Colt Cabs has dedicated 80 of his fleet to Taxi App. Completely free of charge as well. We'll be catching up with Ursula and Myrna as they show us again the delights of the day. Tweet of the week, we'll be looking at opinions from cab drivers about Uber or TfL and Mishcon the Riot.
Taxi League's news desk, of course. And we'll be asking, what was the piece of advice you were given that changed your life forever? Maybe it was advice, maybe it was a place, maybe it was a person. Who, where, and what? And how did it change your life?
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
We'll be right back. your phone, iPad, and the internet. This is London Taxi Radio.
London Taxi Radio, the station for taxi drivers throughout the UK.
Good afternoon, listeners. A lot of things that are happening. Dividing the trade a little bit, isn't it? The idea that we might go to litigation against Uber and not against TfL. But is Uber the end game? I know a lot of people seem to think that it will affect future working practices. I don't know so much. I mean, isn't the fact that litigation against Uber is for loss of earnings because of the way they did operate and the contravention that exists in the private hire regulations? Isn't it because of that they are intending to be sued for loss of earnings? So how will that adjust working practices in the future? I don't know. The only way I can see it adjusting working practices in the future is to mean that they have to conform to the prevailing legislation. So that's worth looking at, isn't it? If it does affect future practices, which means we legitimise them, embed them in the system somehow, and I'm not quite sure how, like I say, then that has to be investigated. Worth looking into. But nevertheless, let's not take away from the fact that the end game is TfL, and if it's done as some kind of immunity, and I'm not sure, but if there is a corporate deal going on here, and there's nothing to stop us thinking that it is a done deal, because it seems to be happening elsewhere, and our government seem very obliging elsewhere also, but if it is a done deal, is this to kind of achieve some kind of immunity from getting dragged through the courts themselves? Not that that is lined up, incidentally. So I don't know. Could it take 5 years? If it goes to arbitration, it might be much quicker. But I'm sure during that, you will not be able to file proceedings against TfL because it might compromise the case with Uber. So there is that. But like I say, there isn't a case pending, is there, with TfL? And it doesn't look like anybody is coming forward to take a case against TfL. You might ask yourself why, and there's one or two reasons, but I imagine that Uber is the easier target, simply because they have admitted to perjury, basically. Not that they're being done for perjury, but they've admitted to lying about the way the booking is processed. They've lied about that. They've admitted that under oath in a court of law. So you could say that's an easy target because they've already admitted it, haven't they? TfL have said they're hoodwinked, as I said in the opening titles. They say they've been hoodwinked. They were lied to. And Uber committed perjury in the High Court, didn't they? When TfL defended Uber's working model quite robustly, I must say. Well, not just quite, very robustly. They defended their working model in the High Court. The High Court where they committed perjury. So TfL saying that they've been lied to. Now, every email between Uber and TfL suggests they knew all about it. But according to TfL, they were hoodwinked. And so that might be a more difficult target to go after. Nevertheless, I think if you get a win with Uber, and there's nothing to say that we will, but if you get a win with Uber, then you're more likely to then a stepping stone to going after TfL. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that field, but that's how it would seem. TfL have also lied, in fact, haven't they? We've seen them lying many times, and we've got examples of that. Nevertheless, they will always say that it is a pre-booked job on the app as well. Everything, and according to Uber, it is not the operator that takes the booking, is it? It is the driver. Now, apparently, there's provision in place now that the operator does take the booking. Now, we're talking about Uber's working model here, specifically Uber. Now, all apps, as far as I know, and Addison Lee might be different. I'm not sure. So I'm speculating. But all apps operate on the same system. So we are talking about all apps acting in contravention of the 1998 Private Hire Act, apart from Uber, apparently. But any freedom of information put in to look into the booking process, or you could say Uber's altered booking process and the provision and the conditions they put in place in order for the operator to receive the booking, to accept the booking, and then pass that booking on, allocate that booking, well, you could say like a normal dispatch company would, to the driver. There's a Section 43 put on that Freedom of Information request that you can't access how they demonstrate the booking process and how it complies with the current legislation. Now, as far as I am concerned, there's so much public interest in this, and the fallout with the public is so catastrophic that I would say that that is exactly what they need to do. They need to open up. Well, it should be in the public domain anyway, shouldn't it? You shouldn't have to go to an FOI to look at the booking process to see that they comply with regulations, to see that Uber is operating legally. So if something happens to you in one of their taxis, you at least know that Uber has put in all they can, put in every provision that they operate legally, so your safety isn't compromised. It's compromised anyway, isn't it? Certainly by Uber, the way Uber behaves and uses technology to, well, you could say facilitate crime, because technology was there to weed out the unsavouries, wasn't it? That was the idea. Evidently, it doesn't. 2,500 serious criminal offences went by the wayside or were paid off by Uber in arbitration cases because they didn't want it to go to a court of law, because they didn't want the information made public, not dissimilar to the booking process. So what is it about the booking process that they don't want made public? It is a TFL, Freedom of Information request. TFL also doesn't want it made public. The reasons they give is that it might compromise negotiations with the trade. Well, TFL doesn't negotiate with the trade, so how is it a compromise? They're certainly protectionist, if you ask me, protectionist of Uber's working model. Now, Deloitte has backed them up in the court case. Emma Arbuthnot sided with Uber in that case, and the Reading case, and another case in the north of England, which is becoming quite a frequent thing to do by Emma Arbuthnot, and also been found as a conflict of interest in other areas. So she's not without, you know, criticism, Emma Arbuthnot. But Uber will not demonstrate the booking process. And you can't just say, like she did, Chief Magistrate, you can't just say, oh, I take their word for it. Because TfL took their word for it 6 years ago, didn't they? Took their word for it 6 years ago. They were hoodwinked, apparently, according to TfL. Now, they couldn't be hoodwinked again, could they? Just by being told, oh, given their word, that they do now comply. Surely not. Surely not. Beggar belief if TfL was hoodwinked again. They did do, I've got to say, they did do their own limited research, you could say, in 2014, where they concluded, on the back of the information that Uber supplied, that they did comply. Again, it's been brought to light that they don't. So why is the secrecy around this, the booking process, and the failure to want it to be in the public domain? Because the public have every right to know what they are using. What they are using is safe and legal, to the best of the operator's ability anyway, and to the best of TfL's ability, because they are regulators. They are arbitrators of the law. They don't make the law. So if they've been protectionist in some way of Uber's working model, where is that protection and where's the directive for that protection coming from? Because they're carrying it out. They are arbitrators of the law. They are not lawmakers themselves. So this is interesting, isn't it? So we'll love your opinions on that. Love you to tweet your messages and we'll read them out on the show. Again, you've got a tariff increase. Now, this tariff increase comes about 6 months after the increase should be in April, I think. Yes, that's right. I've just got information that usually we get the tariff increase in April. And I would like to know, why is it 6 months late? Because there seems to be no reason for this. There is no excuse for it, that's for sure. But TfL don't seem to be given a reason, apart from they couldn't be bothered. They couldn't be bothered? What's that all about? But anyway, a tariff increase there is. We'll be talking about that. a number of vested interests has... sorry about that. That was a technical problem with my mic. I don't quite know what was happening, but it came out of its socket. How could that possibly happen? I've got a absolutely manic cat here, and I don't know whether you could hear her scratching and crawling and meowing and screaming at me that I'm not paying her attention. She's so spoiled, unbelievably so. But we've got an interesting case with Get have come out, and they've emailed all their members to say that, well, encouraging them to sign up to the litigation case by Mishkondarabha. And it's interesting because parallel to that, you have a case by Chris Johnson. Now, he's open about this. Chris Johnson is looking to file litigation against MyTaxi for unfair dismissal or take it to a tribunal. Now, this is really interesting because on one side, you've got Get saying take out in favour of drivers signing up to the litigation against Uber. And you've got a potential case against MyTaxi for unfair dismissal. Now, it's not as though Chris hasn't given MyTaxi the opportunity for reparation. On a daily basis, he has approached MyTaxi. In fact, he visited their office to talk to them about it, and he has received a total blank from them. Now, you can't continue totally and utterly blanking someone who you have dismissed simply by highlighting that you're not obliging the regulation that every taxi driver out there needs to adhere to. So you've got taxi drivers who have to renew their licenses every 3 years. If you don't, you cannot operate. There is no other system. You can't operate as a taxi driver. MyTaxi didn't think that was valuable. They didn't think that that was part of their business plan, or they didn't project significance on it as being important to their business plan because they didn't bother checking that you had renewed your license once your old one had expired. Now, the chances are that you've got your license anyway, but not according to MyTaxi. According to MyTaxi, you was without license. You could have had your license revoked, couldn't you? Could have had. As I say, the chances are slim, but nevertheless, you could have had it revoked, or you just might not have renewed it, which means you're not fit and proper to operate and work as a taxi driver. Categorically. Now, like I say, as a taxi driver, yes, you probably have renewed your license, but because MyTaxi didn't bother to renew it themselves or update their records, then you may not have, and that means you're operating as a taxi driver illegally. But the apps are exempt from any of this regulation. The apps are exempt from any kind of guidelines, and, well, it seems like they can do carte blanche, and it For example, you have the £10 minimum booking fare. At certain times a day, MyTaxi say you charge £10 minimum as the booking fare. Now, as a taxi driver, you cannot charge £10. You have to charge what you are supposed to charge, what you are regulated to charge. And that is £2.60, which is going up to £3, by the way. But I'll come on to that. So you're under strict regulations. You can't apply a charge above the meter price, but the apps can. Now this, we go back to Jeffrey Riesel when he talks about price elasticity, and you'll still hear more of that. Price elasticity is dynamic pricing. Dynamic pricing is the term, the positive term used for Uber's surge pricing. Yeah? Dynamic pricing. This means the pricing structure differs according to demand. Now, business people love this. Business people absolutely love this. But one, we've seen it manipulated. And two, it takes control out of the hands of the service provider. And also, you could say, out of the hands of the passenger who, and I'm sure a lot do, rely on consistency. So there is no license. There is no regulation governing. There is no guidelines even governing the taxi hailing apps. You could say Uber operates under more regulation than those that utilise taxis, because at least Uber have to oblige certain level of corporate responsibility. We know they haven't, and that is why they lost their licence, even though they shouldn't have had a licence in the first place, because they're operating illegally. 21 points which TfL considered to be revocable points. Each one was why Uber didn't get their license renewed back last May, I think it was. They since have, on a 15-month probation period, according to Mayor Khan. It's a 15-month probation period anyway. So you could say Uber's more regulated. The taxi hailing apps, if they can just deactivate you because you inquired about a simple thing like renewing licenses, then surely they're acting in a way of an employer would. It's known as the principal. If you're acting as the principal, then you have a responsibility, don't you, to provide everything else that comes with being effectively an employer. So you're looking at employment rights, aren't you, which is that what the case was with the two Uber drivers that looked to gain recompense for Uber being an employer. So you could say, if my taxi can just deactivate you on a whim, then they go beyond their role as agent, which is someone who just provides you work, and you can take or leave because they're an agent, and you're the principal. Or if they want commitment from you, as like Uber did, now you could say, well, there's the street app. You don't have to work on the app, do you? You don't have to work on my taxi. And they say, yeah, you don't have to. Well, you don't have to work on Uber. You can go and work for another minicab company, can't you? But you could do the street hail, but as they aggressively take more and more of the street hail away from us, you could say their remit becomes more like an employer than an agent. And you could say, anyway, it is a phenomenal amount of the chunk of work that you do. Without it, you would take a serious drop in income. Now, I don't know if that's the case. I don't work any of the apps apart from taxi app, and of course, I wait for drivers to pick up those jobs anyway. But that's what we have. We have my taxi assuming a position of what we would say was the principal, an employer, because they're dictating policy to you. You have no say in that policy. And so they won't respond. Chris Johnson has already formally said that he's going to crowdfund with a view to taking out a case against my taxi. Now, I invite my taxi to come on to the show, because they have not been open. They've not even responded. They responded when Delroy Grant, the most prolific rapist, you could say, in the history of rapists. He something like, I think we're, you know, something like 600 rapes to his name. I mean, unbelievable what he got away with. But this person was uploaded within 30 seconds to my taxi platform. 30 seconds. Within a minute, he got booked. Now, it wasn't him, of course. He is locked away. But nevertheless, it could have been him. And it showed how easy that platform was to access. And when we have been robust in taking on Uber's app and saying how fragile that is, all the controls around that, when you could upload a Chinese menu as your insurance certificate, when we've highlighted that the discrepancy on the Uber app means that anybody, so you don't just get opportunists on there, you get people who intentionally would be nefarious or would be badly behaved, you get those people intentionally get on because it's like giving printing money for them, isn't it? Let's get on this, earn money and commit serious criminal offences. So the point of uploading someone like Delroy Grant onto the My Taxi app was because My Taxi doesn't respond. They don't respond to you saying what your grievance is. They just think, oh, well, we don't have to acknowledge that. We can do what we like. Effectively, that's what they are saying. So because they wasn't verifying taxi drivers' renewals, which is important because your license is what makes you a taxi driver. Without it, you can't work as a taxi driver. And without it, you are effectively Uber. So what TfL as well, but what my taxi was effectively saying was your license, the very thing that makes you a taxi driver, they didn't care about. They had no regard for. It was there. It was lip service. It was tokenism. If you didn't renew, it didn't matter. You could still take work. You could not be fit and proper. You could have had your license revoked, according to my taxi. So that's what they were saying. And without your license, we're all the same, aren't we? So they wouldn't answer questions on that. And they started off quite simply. It ended up with Delroy Grant being uploaded. There you go. They soon started verifying licenses after that, but they still won't acknowledge the fact that he was dismissed. And he wants to know what he was dismissed for, and is that relevant? Is it significant? And if it is, well, they're acting as the principal, aren't they? They are acting as an employer, not as an agent. Because he could do whatever jobs he wanted, couldn't he, if he was an agent, if they was the agent. But no, he is not the principal. He is the service provider, and my taxi is the principal. If they can just willfully get rid of anyone, deactivate anyone at will. So that's interesting. Now, I'm not about to hijack my taxi, and they might think I am, but I'm not, because it doesn't have to be me. But I invite them onto the show to respond to the potential case against them, because I think it's important, and it's important about how the apps are defined in the future. And I know that's probably a foreboding for them. They don't want to commit themselves to that. But drivers, I think, after 5 years, and I think this is where TfL play a part, after 5 or 6 years, in this place of uncertainty, in this place of incertitude, where they don't know whether they'll have a job in the shape and form as we know our jobs to be in the future, because the apps have carte blanche to do what they like. Absolute carte blanche. So that's something TfL needs to think about, and a regulatory framework to govern this, or even guidelines, because otherwise this is what will happen, and Chris is absolutely bang on here. This is what will happen. They will govern, they will determine future policy, not just for the taxi industry. This transcends the taxi industry. They will determine future working rights, future policy, future working conditions, future ability to file litigation against somebody, an employer that's done you a wrongdoing, your maternity leave, holiday pay, sick pay, everything that comes with being in employment, they will determine it, and you won't get any of it. And that's what we're saying. So before anybody starts to kind of erupt and think that my taxi is supplying work to us now, yes, they are, and a lot of people are very grateful to it. All we are asking is that my taxi are more open, more transparent, come onto the London Taxi Radio, have a quick chat, and we'll get their side of the story, because all we are getting is Chris Johnson's. Now, I can only say he's banged to rights. Unless we hear from my taxi and representative of my taxi, and we can have a casual chat about it. And surely, I mean, even if it's tough or hard questioning, you've heard all the questions. All that we are looking for is for them to be answered. That's all.
You're listening to London Taxi Radio, the new voice of the London taxi trade. London Taxi Radio. We play what you want to hear, but only if we like it.
Fascinating rhythm has got me on the move. Fascinating rhythm lock me on the move.
joined, before anything else, I'm joined by the lovely Miss Myrna Bourne. She's looking delightful. It's 11 a.m. and she's got a night going out gear on. Looks like velvet with sequins. How are you doing, Myrna?
I'm pleased that we're on the radio so you can say how beautiful I look. Because my looks works much better on the radio than in the real life.
It's indisputable, listeners. Absolutely indisputable.
I'm even taller on the radio than in the real life.
Taller on the radio?
Blonder.
Well, in her slippers, no doubt. I should take a photograph, really. You know, just to make it more personal with the listeners, and they can be viewers at the same time.
Oh, yes.
So what's happening this week, Myrna, in your life? Well, not your life, but in relation to the trade, what is happening?
Well, in relation to the trade, sorry, I think you
did
have
you
just
see that? Did you see that? Did you see how she? No, she poised herself then, all serious.
Yes,
it was
I
all
did.
Trade issues, and believe me, she does get serious.
Yes,
when we talk
I am.
About the trade.
I am. Well, you said about the court case about the Mish Kondaraya.
Mish who?
Mish Kondaraya.
Well done.
We was talking about the. You said about Michael Glassman, I think, fabulous, that he's giving us 80 cabs for taxi up.
That's right. I'll tell you what, it works, doesn't it? Mish Kondaraya. It works when you're drunk. I was
going to
swear then,
it
but
does.
I didn't. It works when Mish. You're drunk. So you're pronouncing it well.
I think so. Am I drunk?
I don't know. It's
no,
well, it's before midday,
dear
so likely.
Dear listeners, I'm completely sober.
So, well, I tell you what, listeners, you're in a privileged position because you've...
Oh, my God.
You're listening to Myrna. She's got a hangover. She's not drunk. She's got a hangover. So there you go. Aren't you the lucky ones? So maybe tonight. Maybe tonight. I don't know. When she's out in the cab.
Yes. No. Oh, my God. Yes.
No, we're only joking when we say that.
I'm going to have police, you know, waiting on the corners.
We always have to affirm that we're only joking.
Yes, taking
it's just the glue.
Breathalyzing me.
It's only the glue. She gets away with the glue. There's no testing for the glue.
Oh,
there you
God.
Go. I mean, we have talked about it, but
yes.
Michael Glassman. Now, look, the thing is, and this is what I wrote. I did a piece in Jim Thomas's Taxi Leaks because... No one is without criticism, is there? And you put your head above the parapet, or you do anything. Whatever you do, your history comes back to haunt you, or, you know, there's someone to criticise, whatever. There's always some ulterior motive. Now,
I think in our trade, we always have someone to criticise. It doesn't matter how good you're doing, always somebody will come and will try to discredit.
And you know what? If you ask me, no one does anything for zero payoff. Whether, and that doesn't mean it has to be monetary, but people do things for, you know, whatever reason. You could say, even Mother Teresa, she's such a scene stealer, that Mother Teresa. But even Mother Teresa, she chose to do what she did for benevolent reasons because it made her feel good about what she was doing. And rather her do that than her sit in a nunnery all her life. But, you see, there's always got to be some kind of payoff, whatever it is. And we're not saying that there's no payoff there, but nevertheless, he didn't have to do it. He could have gone seeking a return, a financial return from, people who wanted to use the cabs because it's good advertising space. There's a lot of companies that want to advertise on them. He could have gone and used them for profit. Again, he chose not to, and that has to be commended, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a goodwill gesture because Taxi App, it was not feasible. Taxi App could not have stretched to that advertising. And there was costs involved, so we can't just say it was completely free. He did supply the cabs free and the space on the cabs for completely, absolutely nothing, for no return either at a later date. Absolutely, I would say, benevolent on his side. It did cost because, of course, those liveries had to be designed and produced and put, and fitted. And a great pair.
Oh, yes. We have. Is it Darren and?
Darren and Mark. I mean, handsome fellas. Absolute handsome fellas. They were there to fit them. And they're from Divinal Wraps. Divinal Wraps. You want to see how they gave up a lot of trade secrets, actually. They made me think, that's how you do it. But they put on the supersize in record time, I think.
We have one in my house. We can do it today.
Oh, yes, we've got one. I mean, it was just brilliant to watch them. I did record it. So you could go on either to the radio or taxi, because I know there's the video there. So you can watch them, how they're putting on these liveries. And it was just great. So they did it at a rock bottom price as well, because, again, coming through for the trade. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Support those that support the trade. And regardless of any criticisms that might come about, anyone who does or is benevolent in that way for no return, I think, is all right by me. All right by me. But Myrna,
yes.
What is the tweet? You got a tweet, have you?
Yes, I have.
Something.
And you better play something because I wanted to bring my phone. And then you just gave me this dirty look, you know. He talks to me like Jeremy Kyle talks in the morning to his guests.
Oh, I thought you meant some kind of other dirty look. Not at this time, we'll have none of that.
Not this time in the morning.
You know, she's far too masculine for me. Anyway, so go for it.
Okay.
Let's just give you this. So, you know, she's on... Yeah, you know, this is setting you up for a fall. This one is... In your own time.
I wasn't even sure.
No, it's all right. We'll just have to cut out that half an hour break. It's all right.
Okay we have, obviously, this week tweet of the week from the Taxi app, UK forum. And it is about Coldscape and Michael Glassman. Once again, give it up for Michael Glassman from Coldscape for his incredibly generous offer, replacing 80 liveries to carry Taxi app branding free of charge. Remember, support those that support the trade. And underneath you have a video that you spent...
A video?
Yeah. Video that you have spent a couple of hours ignoring me, but I think it's really good.
Only a couple of hours?
Yes. I mean, I must give you that. I have never seen anybody... Like, anything could be boring that you do, and then you make the video that it looks interesting. Because really, video is great, because... You know, you can't say that somebody's putting deliveries on the cab. It's like a thing that you're going to sit down. But yes, yeah, I would sit and watch.
I've got to say, I know those videos are only a couple of minutes, but they are painstaking to do, especially the ones that have really quick-fire scenes, like, you know, just a nanosecond. They are absolutely painstaking. You could say I've got a lot of stock that, and I have a lot of stock that I use over and over again because I don't have that much stock, but I have it. I have a lot prepared, already prepared, but it is still painstaking to get it absolutely bang on.
And I must say, he's a perfectionist.
Well, you wouldn't have me any other way. I have to compromise somewhat.
And I have to suffer through this. I have to suffer. If we do something together, for example, if we do the podcast, oh my God, the everything has to be done on the seconds.
Well, you know, you're up for, you know, like I said, you're up for a lot of criticism. If you do it any other way. But so that sounded very familiar, though, that tweet. We can't have you doing tweets of the week that are me.
Well, we can. I choose tweets of the week. I'm. Oh, by the way,
oh, yeah?
I'm running your mayoral campaign. I want you to become a mayor of London. I did tell you this. You didn't take me seriously, but
me
and Linda Morris.
Linda, no. Got to give it up for Linda Morris, actually. Linda Morris, stalwart of the trade up there, isn't she?
Yes.
She's actually down the road. I've seen her down the road with Taxi app in her own time, giving out leaflets.
Actually, Linda, it's never occurred to me because I always thought, oh, it's impossible. And Linda actually suggested, and then we put a little post on the Safe Taxi. Lots of people coming to your support.
What are we talking about? The
mayoral? Your mayoral election.
Oh.
You know, and then other day, Linda and me was talking what we're going to do. And I said, oh, we have to meet that person. We're going to have a meeting. And she says that Sean knows. And I went, no.
Well, there you go. As long as it can be conducted without me knowing, that's all right. The thing is, I will be a real mayor.
Yes.
I will be a real mayor.
No, I'll be honest with you. I think, and I'm seriously looking into it. I don't care if you want to do it or you don't want to do it. You will have to do it if we think it's feasible. Because I think...
Sorry, Mona,
yes.
But how is it going to be funded? I mean, this is a costly thing to run for mayor.
We have found out that you have to put £10,000 £10,000 deposit, and then you need a 5% of the votes. We have to look into this, but you know, it could be crowdfunded.
The money. Sorry, I've muted her, folks. I've muted her because. Yeah, she mentioned crowdfunding. That's me. That's it. It's fail. It's a fail. I've unmuted.
Unmute
you.
Me.
There you go. Fail. Total fail. Crowdfunding.
Unmute me. I'm not happy.
No need to shout. Well, oh, that's your eardrums gone, folks.
I know.
You know.
No. Listen, I'm looking into it. I don't care. Oh. I think it would be a great publicity.
Well, do you know what? Just on the back of that, I mean, people say, well, what are you going to say about this? What are you going to... Do you know what? Those who have gone up for the mayoralty, the race, or, you know, been candidates for that, They're a walkover, an absolute walkover. They, you could just demolish them in any debate.
Oh, absolutely, and especially you. And another thing is, you know, we are now in that situation. Who do you vote for? Do you vote for Labour mayor? Do you vote Conservative mayor? You really haven't got much choice. And we've been surprised with a lot of things. Some people think that you can win. Some people think that you should go for it because you don't know behind your back. I've been talking to a few people.
Well, that's three votes I've got then, listeners.
No, no, you have more than three. You have four. Four. No, I think that we should look into it and we should go for it. I think you are a very good representative for the trade, not only for the trade. We have to look at the moment. Businesses are suffering in London due to incompetence on transport for London. That won't more than the London have mayor for transport for London. After all, the mayor that know how infrastructure of London works.
Yeah, well,
the mayor who is against gig economy and exploitation of the worker rights.
Well,
that's you.
The gig economy, that was dressed up. It should have been a fantastic thing. I think when it was first introduced, the kind of sharing economy, when it was first introduced, the idea was a good idea. But really, it's a euphemism for income's not keeping up with the cost of living. Because you don't see them at Balmoral, you don't see them at Chequers sharing their bedroom or sharing their driveway or sharing their car, do you? But it's wrapped up as though this is an empowering thing, this is a good thing, you've got assets, you can now share them. Except you've always been able to do that. Now you pay a cut to the money men, the people who've got all the money, in order to do it. It is the working class funding a lower class, an underclass. So I think the idea of the gig economy was great. It's there because people can't afford to live or have a decent living standard. That's what it's there for. It's a real euphemism. And it's been hijacked by the money men. It's the billionaires making the working class fund the underclass. And it's the trickle-up effect, or you could say rush-up effect. So we're funding them again. So, very much against that. Not against the gig economy as such, but a regulated gig economy that everybody benefits. And a bit like the internet of old, or, you know, you could say the car manufacturer. That
because
was stymied in those 50s and 60s. We want a free gig economy that
because it's not only
benefits
us.
Benefits everybody.
I mean, they try to deregulate every industry and try to get cheap labor out of every industry.
The thing is, though, they have tried to deregulate everything because, again, the money men are involved and third-party profiteers are involved. Once you get third-party profiteers, they're the bottom line. They start dictating policy or what the regulation is. You wouldn't have deregulation. You certainly wouldn't have deregulation of our industry or the fire service, would you, if the third-party profiteers wasn't involved. Results of third-party profiteering is Grenfell Tower. There you go. That is symptomatic of third-party contractors, shareholders coming in and saying, let's make savings somewhere. And so they save on the cladding. The fire service don't have to sign it off anymore because they've been deregulated. And there you go. You get a tower block, an inferno in 13 minutes. So, I think we'll end on that happy note, Myrna. But we've got you coming up. I've made a mistake. Myrna won't be with Ursula. She's chopping and changing. You've got a special guest doing...
Yes, we do.
Doing your delights this week.
Yes.
And they, in and of themselves, are a delight.
This week's news headlines from Taxi Leaks News Desk. Victims furious. Rapist policeman Stephen Mitchell is freed from prison less than 7 years after receiving two life sentences for attacking up to 30 women he met whilst on duty. Nissan announced that the proposed date of September to October is still realistic for the launch of their new Dynamo electric taxi. Transport for London has been heavily criticised for signing more than 800 gagging agreements with departing staff members, receiving over £50 million in payoffs in just 1 year. Will Ola out Uber Uber? We received news of a woman on her way to Kemgowoda International Airport forced to strip naked and pose for pictures by her Ola cabbie. If she refused, he threatened her with gang rape, common with this company on the subcontinent. Good news, as New York City Council passes a bill capping the number of Uber drivers for 12 months. An overwhelming majority of the City Council's 51 council members voted in favour of the bill. And finally, the big news from last week. Drivers have been asked to sign up for class action against Uber. But many drivers are asking, are we being led down the wrong valley chasing the wrong criminal just to protect Mike Brown's TfL?
Jamie and myself in the romantic position in the back of his cab.
Ooh. What?
Anyway, Jamie, I want to ask you.
Go on in.
If you have to take for romantic dinner, I know the dinner date with Mick Smith still didn't happen, but I'm giving you another chance.
Go on.
Mick Smith, Sean Paul Day, or the GOAT?
The GOAT.
I never knew you were that kind of a man, that you would go for a GOAT.
The GOAT would be more reliable.
Mind you, you've got a point, so yeah, it's
I've
a GOAT.
I've got a point, so it'd be the GOAT, definitely be the GOAT.
Where would you take the GOAT for romantic dinner?
I'd take it into a field, say, like graze.
Oh, yeah. Which field?
Any field would do. Any field with grass. You know, and then you could get some nice goat's milk.
It's true. Yeah. Yes. I mean, yeah, you're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the GOAT would be more... More reliable than Sean Paul Day or Mick Smith, and also it would be more fruitful because it would produce milk.
Yes,
and
I can see your point now. Yes, I was first stunned. I thought, oh my God, you know, you're letting down Sean Paul Day, you're letting down Mick Smith for a goat. But then
but Mick Smith let us down and didn't turn up for pie mash.
I know.
And Sean wouldn't turn up anyway, so...
Listen, I'll get you a goat. Okay?
Oh, thank you.
Maxi Priest and Close to You. Good tune that. I saw him in the street the other day. Pretty ropey if you ask me. Mind you, it is 30 years later, isn't it?
When I'm lying in the midnight hour, holding you just like a dream. Love is never what it seems.
A short show, I'm aware. Simply because LTR goes live.
Girl, you make my dreams come true. You make my dreams come true. I just wanna be close to you.
Yes, we are live again tomorrow, folks. That's hosted by City Diesel at GSS. Starting at 7:30 sharp. Come down and say hello, and you might even get a London Taxi Radio sticker. And why wouldn't you want one of those, eh? Priceless, 7:30 p.m. GSS, hosted by City Diesel.
Something deep inside of me.
If we don't get to see you tomorrow night, you can always get hold of us at londontaxiradio.co.uk or me, Sean, at londontaxiradio.co.uk. You can go over and like the Facebook page. Like I always say, why wouldn't you like the Facebook page? You can DM us at London Taxi Radio or my personal account at Sean Paul Day. Failing that, this is Sean Paul Day, and I will see you out there on the mean streets.
Words. I'm on a countdown till I get hurt. Her blood was hot, she burned so bright. A neon sign there in the night. It's hard to say if I went too far. My heart still bears a scar.
I just wanna be close to you. I just
she was
wanna
a
be close to you.
Queen, living a life like a backstreet dream. Telling my lies when the truth was clear. I think you knew what I wanted to hear.
I just wanna be close.
Like a wheel on fire. Walking on tightrope on love's highway. The fatal attraction is where I'm at. There's no escaping me.
If this station isn't your cup of coffee,
then drink tea.
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 Tea. Drink tea.
Ooh. Drink tea.
Drink tea.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
100% music. 100% news. 100% information.
Yeah.
100% guaranteed.
Loving this.
Thought you might say that.
Turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go.
You found London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.